Hello and welcome to Behind the Headlines, where we focus on some of the news stories that have really got you talking. Today, we're hearing what changes could be brought in following a crossbow attack in Leeds. We're at the scene of a house explosion in the southwest, and I'll tell you who's won the World Puddle Jumping Championship.
Jumping like the puddles!
So cute. My name is Louise Easton. I'm your host for Tuesday, the 29th of April, 2025, as we go behind the headlines. We're starting on a story that caused global outrage, the felling of the Sycamore Gap tree. It happened in September 2023, and today the trial of two men accused of cutting it down has properly begun in Newcastle. So far, a jury has been told Daniel Graham and Adam Carruthers, both from Cumbria, were on a moronic mission and filmed the felling on a mobile phone. Our reporter Sophie Green's been at Newcastle Crown Court. Sophie, can you tell us more about what was said?
Well, both men who are in their 30s denied charges of criminal damage worth over £600,000 in connection with the tree and Hadrian's Wall, which was damaged when the tree fell in September 2023. Today, the court heard the pair travelled together to the tree from Carlisle and felled it with a chainsaw in under 3 minutes, with the jury showing blurry video footage from a phone.
And it seems the pair are not presenting a united front in court. Is that right?
Yes, the court heard how Graham and Carruthers' supposedly close friendship appears to have unravelled, with the prosecution saying each of them is now blaming each other. Both deny they had anything to do with the cutting down of the tree, which was almost 200 years old. Meanwhile, the case has been adjourned until tomorrow.
OK, thanks, Sophie. And we'll continue following the case as it continues. You're listening to Behind the Headlines. Still to come, we're at the scene of a big electrical fire in London, and we're going to hear from a woman who saw her mum being shot dead. But first, the government's vowed to strengthen controls on both the online sale and delivery of crossbows. It comes in the wake of an attack in Leeds last weekend. The man suspected of carrying out that attack died in hospital earlier from a self-inflicted injury. Our reporter in Headingley, where this took place, is Katie Lyons, who has been speaking with police there.
Yeah, in a statement, they've named him as Owen Lawrence. This is the first time that he has been named, and officers say they believe that he was acting alone. Police were called to Otley Road around 10 to 3 on Saturday afternoon. Two women were seriously injured, aged 19 and 31. One of them underwent surgery for life-threatening injuries. She's now in a stable condition. Counter-terror police say a thorough and extensive investigation continues.
Well, with more on the change in those controls after that incident on Saturday, here's our senior reporter, Zoe Head-Thomas.
To ban the sale of crossbows and look at other weapons that potentially could cause severe injury or death.
What you want to do is make sure that you're changing the law so that it works in the way that you need it to.
Two MPs in opposite parts of the country with the same message, that an urgent change in the law is needed.
To ban the sale of crossbows and look at other weapons that potentially could cause severe injury or death.
What you want to do is make sure that you're changing the law so that it works in the way that you need it to.
The first is Leeds Central MP Alex Bell. On Saturday, in his constituency, two women were taken to hospital after being attacked by a man in possession of a crossbow. Both thankfully survived. The second is Watford MP Matt Termain. Last July, three women were murdered in their home in Bushey. Two of them, sisters Hannah and Louise Hunt, were killed with a crossbow. So what the government is now promising is an amendment to the Crime and Policing Bill to prevent future incidents involving the weapons. But for Gemma Vine, an inquest solicitor in Leeds, it doesn't quite go far enough. She's been campaigning alongside Laura Sudgeon, whose partner was killed in 2018 by a man using a crossbow.
Most of the cases, certainly that I'm aware of, over the, you know, the past however many years, have all been conducted by someone over the age of 18 and 21 anyway. So that in itself wouldn't have prevented any of those incidents from taking place.
Home Secretary Yvette Cooper, however, assures us regulation will be going further in time.
We're looking at measures both to change the law this year and also go further next year.
The first step includes tighter age verification controls on both the online sale and delivery of these weapons.
A house in South Gloucestershire has been completely destroyed in a suspected gas explosion. Several homes in Yate have been evacuated and three people are being treated in hospital. Our reporter Jessica Payne is at the police cordon on Lancaster Road.
In front of me, there is now a hole where a house used to be. The roof is completely blown off, and parked out front is a car with all its windows and headlights smashed. I spoke to retired police officer Robert, who lives next door, and ran into the house to help the people inside get out.
You think, there by the grace of God, do I? You know, if I was a minute later, parked my car in a different place, that could have all the rubble flew out and everything like that was all on our cars. Could have been us.
Three people are now being treated in hospital. Chris Benji from Avon Fire and Rescue says they're lucky to be safe and well.
And there was an explosion in the building. There were two people in that property at the time, so we think they're very lucky. And they were talking to us, explaining what happened, and are now seeking further medical attention at hospital.
Emergency services are working with utility companies to get everyone evacuated back home safe as soon as possible.
Watchdogs criticised the initial investigation into the Kingsmill massacre, saying the deployment of resources to catch the killers was wholly insufficient. The shooting by IRA gunmen in County Armagh in 1976 was one of the most notorious incidents of the Troubles. No one has ever been convicted of the murders. Now, our chief reporter in Northern Ireland, James Gould, has been speaking to a man who survived the attack.
10 Protestant men were shot dead on their way home from work by Republican gunmen posing as British Army soldiers. The only Catholic on the bus was ordered to run away. Alan Black, who's now in his 80s, survived despite being shot 18 times. I asked him, how does he find the strength to continue?
The death cries of my friends. That's always been my motivation. It should never have happened. Now that we've come this far, we've been vindicated in all our complaints.
The failings in the RUC investigation included the failure to arrest suspects linked by intelligence to the attack, and that took place against the backdrop of wholly insufficient resources.
And there was a really big fire in London today, which caused around 80 people to be evacuated from their homes. The blaze at an electrical substation in West London started around 5:30 this morning, with around 100 firefighters called out to deal with it. A statement from Downing Street said the government was grateful to the emergency services for their continued response. Officers are still at the scene in Maida Vale, as is our reporter in the capital, Claire Bode.
Footage of this fire is almost unbelievable to see. You can see a tower of smoke and flames higher than the lots of the houses here. And the first thing you notice as you come down this road to the substation is the smell in the air and a thick haze that's covering a lot of the area. Crews were called here around 5:30 this morning, where an electrical transformer caught fire at the substation. But the UK Power Network, in a statement, says power supplies have not been impacted. Assistant Commissioner for the London Fire Brigade, Patrick Goulburn, gave us this update.
Due to the fire involving a high-profile piece of infrastructure that was affecting nearby residential buildings, a major incident was declared by the London Fire Brigade at 08:26 this morning. I'm pleased to inform you that that declaration was stood down at 10:53. However, firefighting operations will continue for some time to ensure that we fully extinguish the transformer and the substation.
Investigations are continuing into what has caused this fire, and residents are being asked to keep windows and doors closed due to the fumes.
You're listening to Behind the Headlines. A woman who was 14 years old when she watched her mum being shot dead is now working with police to help them spot red flags earlier. The campaign, which also aims to increase reporting of so-called low-level incidents, is also backed by the mother of murdered Libby Squire. Our chief reporter, Andrew Kay, sent this from Devon and Cornwall's police headquarters in Exeter.
Georgia Gabrielle Hooper came here today with a message.
You know, they are dealing with so many cases. They don't often see it from the victim's perspective.
The now 21-year-old who lives here in Devon was just 14 and living in Shropshire when, after years of controlling behaviour, her stepfather killed her mum in front of her.
Domestic abuse, coercive control, stalking, they're all patterns, and it's really important to recognise them. Victims, a lot of the time, will minimise, so it's really, really important that, you know, we are training officers to recognise the small things and to read between the lines of what's being said.
And she's also backing the Force Hears work in schools, teaching youngsters aged 14 to 18 about the warning signs in relationships and what is and isn't acceptable behaviour.
Biggest chances that we have of really changing the system and really changing views and opinions around domestic abuse is to educate the next generation.
Lisa Squires has also been speaking to the officers here after her 21-year-old daughter Libby was killed whilst at university in Hull. She feels the man who did it had clearly shown signs of worrying, escalating behaviour beforehand. She wants to ensure lessons are learned.
It is not normal behaviour. You know, most men do not exhibit these behaviours. It is unrealistic to expect that if you report to the police that night that they're going to go and catch that person. But what they've then got is the information that leads towards the intelligence.
James Vaughan is the interim chief constable here.
We get sort of predatory men preying upon, often men preying upon women in non-contact sexual offences, propositions and upskirting and various other disgusting offences. And what we're saying is we want people to bring those to us. We will record them as crimes, we will investigate them.
He says it's an issue he will continue to focus on.
Around 600 schoolgirls in Northern Ireland have been learning about cyber security today. The event has been organised to try and encourage more women to study STEM subjects. That stands for science, technology, engineering and mathematics, and to apply for more tech jobs. Our reporter Tara Griffiths sent this from Belfast.
Excited Yeariot schoolgirls from across the province gathered at the ICC Centre in the city today. Full of promise and the brains of the future, it was an opportunity for them to meet over 50 different businesses involved in cybersecurity here. These girls tell us even though it's currently a male-dominated field, it doesn't have to be.
Yeah, women should have a lot more opportunities to do all this stuff.
I think women should, everybody should be treated equally and women should be able to do things that men can do.
I think women should because women are quite smart too and they can think of lots of ideas.
Cybersecurity companies and those from the wider technology sector offered interactive workshops, games, demos and virtual reality. Mark McCormick is the Managing Director of AFLAC in Northern Ireland. He tells us why he wanted to get involved.
The industry average for girls working in this sector is about 17%. So it's really not where we want it to be because it doesn't reflect the diversity of our people. And we want to show the girls that are making those early stage career choices that it's a great thing for everyone to be part of. It's not just for the boys, it's for absolutely everybody.
It's hoped the young schoolgirls who attended will now be inspired to consider a career in STEM subjects.
Now, it's been a while since we checked in on that bin crisis in Birmingham. Workers have been on strike since last month in a row over pay, and following developments today, it looks likely that that could now escalate. Unions say waste truck drivers have been told their role would be downgraded, which the council says is essential to comply with equal pay laws. Our reporter in the city, Alice Smith, has been speaking with Unite's Oney Kassab.
We're hearing from Unite that lorry drivers' pay is now a risk of being cut as the role is due to be downgraded. What's your reaction to this news to begin with?
We're appalled, but unsurprised. We have been saying for some weeks now that we believe that the council are going to come for the pay of the drivers. And unfortunately, that has come true today. This is exactly why our members voted against the minimal package that was put on the table a few weeks ago. And it's in total contradiction to what the council, and directly the council leader, to what he's been saying on the media airwaves. He's been saying nobody need lose any pay. And today, they've announced that drivers will go down from what's called a grade 4 to a grade 3. And just to put that in layman's language, that brings pay down from £40,000 a year down to £32,000. So we're talking about an £8,000 pay gap. It's that straightforward. The council for some time now have been claiming that it's only 17 people impacted by this. Well, even by their own figures, we're talking about nearly 200 drivers. Before this latest announcement, we thought that we were within touching distance. We could be within touching distance of an agreement. This has taken things back. What the council now need to do is they need to turn up to these talks and explain to us exactly how, on the one hand, there doesn't have to be any pay cuts, and on the other hand, they've announced today that drivers will be downgraded with an 8,000 pay loss. So I look forward to hearing the council explain that position.
Well, talks between the union and the city council are due to resume tomorrow involving conciliation service ACAS. And three toddlers from the same UK family have been named winners of a competition you may not be aware exists. The World Puddle Jumping Championship. Yes, you heard right. A competition to find out which human is the best at jumping in those muddy puddles. Thought I needed to clarify that there. As we all know, Peppa Pig is the best at this activity, don't we? Previous winners of this have come from as far afield as Australia. But this year, the title goes to a family in Northamptonshire. Our reporter Andrea Fox has more on this one.
It was the first ever three-way tie in the competition. Three children from the same Northamptonshire family have been crowned champions. There's four-year-old Eli.
To make giant splashes.
And his three-year-old twin sisters, Maya and Neve. And they've given us this advice for anyone hoping to follow in their muddy footsteps.
Jump in muddy puddles.
Jump in muddy puddles.
We're jumping muddy puddles high in the sky.
Yeah.
High in the sky.
High in the sky.
Kettering's Wicksteed Park have run the competition since 2013, and it's attracted many thousands of entries over the years, with previous winners from Wales and even entries from Australia. It was mum Hayley Panter who sent in a video entry of the three to win, which saw them covered head to toe in mud.
Wow.
What is that?
Dad Josh says the siblings just love the outdoors.
They're huge fans of jumping in puddles. I mean, all three of them have puddle suits specifically just for going out in bad weather. So they put on their wellies with their puddle suits and then they go puddle hunting.
Judges tell us they give scores based on the height of the jump, enthusiasm, distance of splash and stickability. That's the amount of mud left clinging to each competitor.
Well, for more on any of those stories, head to the news pages of our website or check out our social media channels. And be sure to come back again tomorrow when we'll continue to take you behind the headlines.